The well-known contemporary poet W. H. Auden was one of the first to call our period in history the Age of Anxiety. With universal feelings of apprehension, worry, doubt, uneasiness about the future, I would say that the title seems to be a perfect fit for our present culture. This is an age of anxiety, to say the least. They tell me that in the Museum of Modern Art in New York City, there's a painting by André Rousseau. This painting is of a gypsy woman. She's out in the open. Her guitar is by her side. Very tranquil scene, all of it is, except the artist left it that way purposely and added something else that painted a picture and told a story. No title to the painting, just the painting. In the background, there stands a ferocious-looking lion, just standing there. This artist cleverly painted a portrait that offers no rational explanation for our anxieties. No reason for our feelings of dread and tension. They're just there. Something is wrong. We just know something is wrong. We don't know exactly what, but we know that everything's not right. There was a man visiting some friends who lived in a large city. His visit had been preconditioned by lurid tales of big city living. When he arrived in that city, he was full of apprehension, prepared for the worst. But when he arrived, his first impression was formed by a view of the city from the top of its tallest building. And given that perspective, wherever he went through the city, he could not forget that marvelous view from the top. The view from the top. Believers, listen to me, believers view current world conditions from the top. From the top. A number of years ago, someone came out with a song titled, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." You know something? That's scripture. And you're looking at me like, can we sing it? And I'm saying, why not? He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got you and me, everybody else. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. Well, sing it again, church. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Hallelujah. Were you singing?
I thought I heard a discord. I'm funning you, brother.
We have a view from the top. Praise God.
Somebody said you're just reading through rose-colored glasses.
I'm reading through blood-colored glasses. I'm viewing this world through the blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't belong to the Dems or the Repubs, nor the Independents, nor anybody else. It's His world. His.
Praise God. That's scriptural. Let's look at it. Isaiah 41, verse 8 through 13. Which one of these waters is mine? But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. I get the feeling that the world don't like us too good these days. I'm telling you, one of these days they're going to say confounded. God says, I'm going to confound those that are against thee that are incensed. I mean red hot with anger against thee. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. My little girl, apple of my eye, was just a toddler. We were fixing the crosses at the intersection. I've known this before. I tell everything many times now, the age I am. Bear with me. She was just a little toddler. We were fixing the cross at the intersection. I was holding her hand. I felt her hand get real sweaty. I looked down, and her little eyes were as big as half dollars almost. She looked at me and she said, Daddy, Daddy, hold me hand. Hold me hand, Daddy. Hold me hand. I can tell you there's been a lot of times over the years that I've looked to God. So hold me hand. Hold me hand, Lord. Hold me hand. Hebrews 1:1-3. Let's look at it. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Many Bible translators think that the text indicates that the Son not only upholds all things by the word of his power, but that he maintains all things by the word of his power. The word uphold conveys too much of the idea of passive support of a burden. Someone pointed out that the Son is not to be thought of as a mythical Atlas sustaining the dead weight of the world. That's not the picture here, guys. That's not it. Even though the word uphold implies that the idea of sustaining, it also includes in itself the idea of movement. The Son of God sustains the creation in all its changes and transformations throughout the aeons. Jesus keeps it together. This has to do not only with sustaining the weight of the universe, but also maintaining its coherence and carrying on its development. Jesus is the sustainer of all creation. And that creation is slowly but surely moving toward a predetermined desperation. Would you cut my volume, please? I'm going to do something. And I'm back. Thank you. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22 and 23. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Psalm chapter 72, verse 4 and 5, he shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. Christ upholds. Christ sustains. Christ maintains. Men may think they're pulling a fast one on God. But I want to tell you something, guys. God isn't a dawdling old bearded man who is still on the throne but has trouble staying awake at times. Hallelujah. And God's son isn't a has-been. A nice guy. Yeah, a real nice guy with some great ideas who managed to get himself killed for his radical beliefs. He was crucified. But it was predetermined that he would. That's why he came. He came to die for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and every of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Multiply this by the 7 billion people that live on the earth now and the billions that have already gone. Multiply it by every living creature that's ever breathed the breath of life. Multiply that and imagine all those people in unison saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive praise. Thou art worthy to receive honor and glory. For thou hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred and nation. We acknowledge you, Jesus. You are the Son of God. You are the Son of God. Hallelujah. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 said, for by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The word consist is an interesting word. All things maintain their coherence in him. It is the Lord Jesus that holds all things together and in their proper relationship to each other by his own power. He is the cohesiveness of it all. He makes it all fit like it's supposed to be. The rivers run down to the sea. The heavenly bodies are held in their orbits. I'm so thankful that God has placed them there. I don't know if there was a bang, but I get a bang out of listening to some of the theories about it. But I want to tell you something. God knew what he was doing when he created such a thing as gravity and adjusted everything just right so that we wouldn't be floating around in this room today, or we wouldn't be crushed to death because of the weight that's on us. It's just right. Just right.
And we're not human French fries today because God was so thoughtful to put the sun exactly where he did in relation to the earth. Had it been just a little further away, we would have roasted it. If it had been a little closer, somebody said, would you like to supersize this? Would be fries. But God was thoughtful and put it exactly where he did because he had a plan. And he carried it out. The oceans are held in their beds. Psalm 89, verse 89, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Are to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. How in the world does all that water stay where it's supposed to? Who put the boundary up? In fact, Job asked that question one time, or one of the guys talking to Job did. Who put the boundaries up that the sea could come just so far and no farther? Good question. God did. That's who did it. And I could tell you this, that the universe is literally held together by the Word of God, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. The act of maintaining this coherence implies the guidance and propulsion of all the parts of the universe to a definite end. This sustaining of the universe is none other than the wisdom of Almighty God. And the coherence that is there in all its part is accomplished by the Son of God, by the word of his power. The universe was called into being by the word of God, and the universe is sustained by the word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Except for that, what does all of this have to do with me? What does that do with us today? Everything. Some years ago, I read about a couple of gas company servicemen. There was a senior training supervisor and a young trainee. They were out checking meters in a suburban neighborhood. They parked their truck at the end of the alley and worked their way to the other end. At the last house, a woman looked out her kitchen window, watched the two men as they checked her gas meter. Finishing the meter check, the senior supervisor challenged his younger co-worker to a foot race down the alley back to the truck to prove that an older guy could outrun a younger guy. As they came running up to the truck, they realized the lady from that last house was huffing and puffing right behind them. They stopped immediately and asked her what was wrong. Gasping for breath, she replied, "When I see two guys reading gas meters running as hard as you two were, I figure I better run too." I want to tell you folks, there have been times in my life I felt just like that woman running down that alley. Run for your life. You probably felt that way too. Ever wish there was a place to hide? Ever wish you could run away, had some safe place to run away to? We've all been there, all of us. Jeremiah was there. He said, "Oh, that I had a place in the wilderness for wayfaring men. Just get out of here and fly away and be at peace." We've all been on that trip. One thing for sure, whether it's talk around the water cooler, the banner in the boardroom, or the discussion on the evening news, one thing for sure, people are very much aware that ours is a troubled world. And people everywhere may not be running down an alley, but I tell you what they are doing, they're running scared. People are running scared. Jesus spoke of these very days we're living in. Luke 21, 25, he said, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." Perplexity comes from the Greek word aporia, It literally means no way out. Backed into a corner. Trapped by circumstances we can't change. At a loss for a way. At wit's end. Without resources. It's not a pretty picture. Global leaders are trying to grapple with mammoth problems of governments in conflict. You watch the news, you know that. Unbelievable, some of the stuff that's happening. May I just tell you, they're not telling a tenth of what really is going on in this world. You remember the old commercial? You can sleep well tonight because the National Guard is not sleeping? Something of that effect? I remember that a few years ago. Well, I'll tell you one thing, friend. If you get your mind on the world, you're not going to do much sleeping. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know Him, you're not going to do a whole lot of sleeping. Because the world's in trouble. The slaughtering, the starvation of millions, the slaughtering of yet other millions. Unreal. In the past 6 years alone, in the Congo, there have been between 6 and 10 million people slaughtered. Many of them for their faith. Some for political views that was in conflict with others. Unbelievable. Randy Hurst, whose name has been associated with missions in the Assemblies of God for years, the Hurst family, great speaker, great man of God, vision, wrote in a Pentecostal evangelist coming out in just a few weeks, and I got an early edition of it and read it. He said, I was there in the Congo. People have been displaced. They're going here and yonder. The Bible school students had to abandon the Bible school, and they had to go out into the middle of nowhere and hide themselves. But he said 7 months later, when they were finally able to come back to the Bible school, they told a story. They said they never missed a lesson in 7 months. Oh, my Lord, folks. I got them. They never missed a lesson in 7 months. The way they would do it, half of them would study and half would go foraging for food. Randy Hurst said, I kept noticing there are no animals around here. I said, what's going on? He said, we ate them. We ate everything we could get our hands on to survive. Randy Hurst said, on the way toward that village and going through the Congo, he and his entourage could not travel more than 15 minutes before they saw a sign that said, Assemblies of God Church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Yeah, it's going on. You know what Jesus said? Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He meant what He said. He is in the process of building His church. And whatever He's got to do to get that church built, He'll do it. He's a God of the miraculous. Let's not forget that God is still in the miracle working business. He can provide miraculously. People would just like to run away and hide sometimes. But where would they run to? I've heard the term loose cannon for years. Never really understood what it was all about until just a few months ago. Victor Hugo, famous for his novel The Hunchback of Notre Dame, also wrote a story called 93. And in that novel, it tells of a ship that was caught in a dangerous storm on the high seas. At the height of the storm, the frightened sailors heard a terrible crashing noise below the deck, and they knew at once that this new noise came from a cannon, part of the ship's cargo that had broken loose. It was moving back and forth every time the ship would lurch, crashing into the side of the ship with a terrible impact. Knowing that it could cause the ship to sink, two brave sailors volunteered to make the dangerous attempt to retie the loose cannon. They knew the danger of a shipwreck from a cannon was greater than the fury of the storm. Let me just tell you this, folks. The best way I can describe the economy right now and the political scene, it's a loose cannon. Nobody seems to be accountable to anybody anymore. Nothing sacrosanct seems to make a hill of beans difference anymore. It's every man for himself. It's do what you want to do, regardless, and the rest of you guys can go to you know where. That's the culture we're living in. Like a loose cannon. I'm glad God is on His throne. Hallelujah. We like to have life tied down, safe and secure, but somehow things get loose and threaten to sink us. But at a time like that, it's good to know that our God is faithfully watching, seeing, knowing, loving. Oh, for the faith to place the impossibilities of life into the hands of a mighty God. To say, Lord, it's yours. We're yours. We belong to you. You're going to take care of us. I know you are. A number of years ago, there was a retirement party held at the Boston Garden in honor of the legendary star, NBA star Larry Bird of the Boston Celtics. One of the speakers for that event was Casey Jones, former coach of the Celtics. Jones told of diagramming a play on the sidelines only to have Larry Bird dismiss it, say, get the ball to me. Get everyone out of my way. In a huff, Casey responded, I'm the coach and I will call the plays. And then Jones turned to the other players and said, get the ball, the Bird, and get out of his way. I want to tell you that today that God is in charge of the ball. This huge ball. God is in charge of it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Somebody say amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise God. It's His. It's His. Praise the Lord. That's the message of the hour. When times of perplexity come, your back is against the wall, you have nowhere to turn, give it all to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus. You can smile the rest of the way. Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus. You can smile the rest of the way. Turn to somebody and sing it to them. Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus. You can smile the rest of the way. Now smile at them. Man. Thank God. Give the ball to Jesus and get out of the way. Hallelujah. Praise God. I debated for some time whether I should even mention what I'm thinking to tell you. I do not want to come across in the wrong way when I say what I'm fixing to say. And I'm going to tell it because I want to glorify the Lord with it. One day this week, I left the church to go make hospital visits. I was driving north on 4th Street, fortunate to escape the intersection up here. I had actually already navigated 4th and Grand, another wonderful place to try to stay away from. I wasn't particularly in a, quote, holy mood. Okay? You get the picture? How many of you this past week at some point in time have been in less than a holy mood? I hadn't been singing Kumbaya for the past hour. I was just trying to get down 4th Street without getting... cream.
Now to the clear blue. Out of the clear blue, the Holy Spirit whispered in my heart, "You don't have a thing to worry about." I nearly ran into the car in front of me. I wasn't expecting that. I would have handled a slap on the wrist better. Or a knucklehead, straighten up and fly right. I could have handled that. But the Holy Spirit just whispered to him, "You don't have a thing to worry about." And I got to thinking, hey, that's right. We don't. Jesus said, "Fear not." Hallelujah. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end." He said these things. He gave these promises. We do not have a thing to worry about. I tested the waters. Did I imagine I just heard that? Did I dream it up? I can't prove anything to anyone. But I'm convinced God spoke to my heart that He is in control. Praise the Lord. Will I worry again? Is a bean green? Is a moon yellow? Sure I will. I'm a human being. How many of you anticipate that at some point in the future of your life, from this point on, you will worry about something? The rest of you, I'm worried about you already. But what a comfort, what a blessing that the Holy Spirit would just remind me that He's got the whole world in His hands. And He's not just some Atlas-type, muscle-bound guy that's standing there on a street in New York City somewhere with a globe in his hand. But He's carried it somewhere. He's going somewhere with it. Praise the Lord. The same word, the same thought pattern, the same word actually in the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, is the word that was used in the New Testament, the word uphold, the word phibe, I believe it's pronounced, and it means somebody going somewhere. And in the Old Testament, the Greek Septuagint, Moses was complaining to God one day, and he said, "Lord, I cannot uphold these people any longer, phibe." Moses was going somewhere with the children of Israel. Jesus is going somewhere with the church. And He's able to hold us in the palm of His hand. He's able to take care of us. Take heart, church. God is on your side. God is not your enemy. He's your friend. Praise the Lord. One more thing I want to share with you. Wish I could say this is original. It's not. Chuck, you gave me permission to use it. It's too good to keep. Danny and Chuck were in my office. We were praying before the service this morning. Chuck said, "You know, I heard something, someone commenting about all the financial empires that are falling and all this stuff." And this guy said, "We need to stop worrying about what's fallen and start thanking God for who has risen." Is that good? Is that good? Hallelujah. I don't know what else is going to fall. I don't know. But I know that God is in control of it all. He is on His throne. Place your faith in Him. Put your trust in Him. If you don't know Him as your Savior, bow the knee. Everybody's going to bow one day. We need to bow our knee now. If you've never bowed the knee to God this morning, don't wait till next week or next month or next year. Try to wait that long. Don't do that. This morning,
When we come down to pray, come down here, get on your knees and talk to God and say, Lord, I'm bowing my knee before you today. I'm bowing myself before the Lord. My heart, I bow before you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Bow to me, Lord. By your hand. By surprise at all, Lord, none of it. You've known about it from eternity past, what it was going to be like. In fact, Lord, you told us when you were here on this earth, you told us days are coming like this. And they're here. Lord, I want to thank you today because even though, Lord, a lot of stuff's going on that is wicked and evil and all this, Lord, you have designed some things. It's not that you made anybody be evil. But Lord, you're going to use the evil events of this day and time to bring people to Christ, to clean up a church, to help us, Lord. You said you're coming back for people that has garments that are spotless. Lord God, I thank you for what you're doing in the church all over the world. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you're touching our hearts in ways you haven't touched us in a long time. You're dealing with people, Lord, that others had written off as impossible. We're seeing them come in, Lord. We're seeing them come in. I want to thank you, Lord, that you're fixing to make a rush, a last day ingathering of souls, a Holy Ghost revival, a move of the Spirit. God, the likes of which we haven't seen in our generation. And maybe, Lord, even a revival that will supersede the revival just after the days of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts. Lord, I want to thank you that you're that kind of God and you're going to do that because there's a harvest to be gathered. And I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, you'll help us as your people to stay focused. And for anyone under the sound of my voice today, Lord, that's not ready to meet you, that they do not know you as their Savior. You are not Lord of their lives. God, that they will surrender themselves to you in the name of Jesus. I pray these things. Would you remain with your head bowed just for a moment? It's not going to be long with this. I've preached already. It's not going to be long. Well, heads are bowed, eyes are closed all over this room. I want to know this morning, if you come to this service today and you would like to give your heart to Jesus, you're not ashamed to bow at an altar and say, Lord, come into my heart. You want to be saved. You want to accept Jesus as your Savior. That's you. Amen. I'd like for you to slip your hand up right now if that's you. I'm looking. I'm looking across the congregation. Amen. Let me ask it this way. Let me put it this way. I am assuming, since no one raised their hand, that if before I get through speaking this morning, there is a loud trumpet blast and the church is caught away, will you go? Or will you be left behind? Say, oh, Brother Happy, don't try that stuff on me. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to just give you the truth. Because one day, as sure as God's word declares it, the trumpet will sound. The dead will rise first. The living saints will be caught up together. Don't be left behind in that time. If you cannot honestly in your heart say, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready right now. The trumpet sounds now. I'm ready to go. If you can't honestly say that, you need to be responding to what this preacher is talking to you about today. I'm going to ask one more time. You want to give your heart to Jesus? You want to pray? You want to bow the knee? I want you to raise your hand boldly. Raise it. God bless you. Yes. God bless. Somebody else? Amen. Amen.
Everybody standing? Everyone standing. The altars are open. It's prayer time. Let's find a place to kneel and pray. Do some talking to God. Talk to Him about what's on your heart, on your mind. You need to leave early. Don't be embarrassed to leave quietly, but it's prayer time. We need to come and pray. God bless you as you're coming down the aisle. God bless you today.